In addition to keeping their boss scripted and hidden, the Biden administration is taking heat for having a fake White House. The Associated Press puts out a false fact check regarding protesting parents. Plus, with falling poll numbers, Joe Biden keeps giving Jimmy Carter a reason to smile. All that and more. I'm Bobby Eberle. This is a 13-Minute News Hour.
And God bless the United States of America.
Okay, friends, welcome to the show. Happy Friday. I hope you had a great week. If you're new to the show, thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to start with Joe Biden's fake White House. That's right. Joe Biden and his team have created a set that mimics the White House just across the street from the actual White House. No previous president has ever done this. If you want a picture at the White House, you just take a picture at the White House. If you want to record an interview at the White House, you just set up a camera and hit record. At the White House. With Joe Biden, he and his team walk over to the Eisenhower Executive Office Building and use a set constructed to look like the White House. But why? Why would Biden use a fake White House when he lives and works in the real one? That's a question many are asking, and here's the story. Social media users shamed and mocked President Biden after he spoke once again from a fake White House set that featured a digital monitor showing the Rose Garden in full bloom. The video set, which was constructed across from the White House in the South Court Auditorium in the Eisenhower Executive Office Building, is used by Biden for video conferences and events broadcast online. Featuring professional monitors and lighting, it is the same set Biden used to show himself receiving a third dose of the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine. This is just the strangest thing. So when Biden received his booster shot with a window in the background showing a White House view, it was at the fake White House. Former Trump advisor Stephen Miller has a theory, and he tweeted this. The reason Biden uses this bizarre virtual set for televised meetings and not an actual room like East Room, Cabinet, Oval, Roosevelt, Situation Room, etc., is because it allows him to read a script directly from a face-on monitor and without teleprompter glass that can be seen on camera. That makes sense. Everything the Biden team does is designed to keep him on script as much as possible. It makes you wonder who's really in charge.
Ladies and gentlemen, they gave me a list here. The first person I was instructed to call on was Kelly O'Donnell of NBC.
Clearly, he's being guided on who to call on and what the questions will be. When he goes off script, that's when the alarms sound, and he ends up saying something like this.
The data shows young black entrepreneurs are just as capable of succeeding given the chance as white entrepreneurs are. But they don't have lawyers, they don't have accountants, but they have great ideas.
Biden is such a mess, but do we really need a fake White House? The story goes on to say that the set includes a small seating area for members of the press and event attendees, and it plays host to virtual meetings for Biden and other members of the administration. Even so, that explanation didn't stop some people from wondering what's going on. Here's Fox News columnist David Marcus. Remember the Trump green screen scandal? Now Biden gives speeches on a set made of Legos, and nobody is remotely curious. Remotely curious? Come on, journalists aren't curious anymore at all. Take the same situation happening to a Republican and a Democrat, and the media will be all over the Republican. With the Democrat, it's not even news. Human Events senior editor Jack Posobiec summed things up by calling the whole situation the Truman Show presidency. So, what do you think? Why does Joe Biden have a fake White House set when he can use the real thing? Let me know in the comments. All right. Next, I have a follow-up on the Biden administration's plan to go after concerned parents. But first, if you're new to the show or haven't subscribed yet, regardless of platform, just search out my name, hit that subscribe button, make sure notifications are turned on. That way you can follow the show and help us grow. Okay, on Wednesday, I talked about Joe Biden using his attorney general, Merrick Garland, to go after parents who speak out at school board meetings on issues like critical race theory, the 1619 Project, and other woke leftist efforts to indoctrinate our children. Joe Biden has no problem at all with those on the radical left harassing conservatives or even moderate Democrats if it serves to advance the far left agenda. But if parents speak out, then the Biden government has to fly into action with threats and intimidation aimed at silencing those parents. Here's a recap. Days after a national organization representing school board officials lamented to the Biden administration about hate groups intimidating education officials, Attorney General Merrick Garland has directed the FBI to combat threats of violence against administrators. Without citing specific cases, in a memorandum issued on Monday, Merrick Garland expressed concern about a disturbing spike in harassment, intimidation, and threats of violence against school administrators, board members, teachers, and staff who participate in the vital work of running our nation's public schools. Well, the letter from the school board administrators that sparked Biden's action has caused outrage among conservatives. And that's when the Associated Press swooped in to fact-check the conservative complaints. We are upset that free speech rights of parents would be under attack and that this organization, the National School Boards Association, would liken upset parents to domestic terrorists. But the Associated Press said the NSBA didn't say that at all. Contrary to false claims circulating online, the National School Boards Association didn't ask President Joe Biden to label protesting parents domestic terrorists, and there's no indication Biden or the Justice Department called them terrorists either. Christopher Rufo, who is a leading advocate against the teaching of critical race theory, blasted the AP fact check by simply showing the letter that the NSBA sent to the Biden administration. Your fact check is false. It's easily debunked in the text of the NSBA's letter. Rufo underlined the section where the letter references unsourced acts of malice, violence, and threats, and then suggests that the classification of these heinous actions could be the equivalent to a form of domestic terrorism. It's right there in the letter. Rufo also underlined a section of the letter in which the NSBA requests action be taken against these unspecified crimes using the Patriot Act in regard to domestic terrorism. That's the letter. That's the letter that outraged conservatives and that the AP fact-checked. But again, this is what happens when people turn against the left-wing plan. The left actually expects parents to just sit back and be quiet while our kids are indoctrinated with anti-American, anti-capitalist, pro-communist teachings. Parents aren't going to take it anymore. All right, next, let's talk about some poll numbers because as things currently stand, Joe Biden is one of the worst leaders that America has ever seen. Jimmy Carter must have a big smile on his face because it's been a long time since a president has received the Carter comparison, and it's not a good comparison to be in. Biden is failing on virtually every issue, and his poll numbers are reflecting this complete lack of leadership. Here's the story. A Quinnipiac poll found that President Joe Biden's job approval rating stood at 38%. The university poll noted that this was the lowest since taking office. Half of the poll takers at 50% disapproved of his response to COVID-19, while 48% approved. 55% disapproved of his management of the economy, while 39% approved. Biden's lowest ratings concern immigration issues and the situation at the Mexican border, where 67% disapproved of his efforts in both areas, while 25% approved of the measures he took with regard to immigration, and just 23% approved of his handling of the border situation. Three major issues: COVID, the economy, and the border. And Joe Biden is underwater on all of them. But that's not all. According to the report, half the respondents said that they did not trust Biden. They also believe he is not a competent leader of the government. Only 44% thought that Biden was honest, and 50% believed that he wasn't. Meanwhile, 41% thought Biden possessed good leadership skills, while 56% believed he lacked them. Here's more. Tim Malloy, a Quinnipiac University polling analyst, said that Biden's numbers were just as bad as former President Donald Trump's. Battered on trust, doubted on leadership, and challenged on overall competency, President Biden is being hammered on all sides as his approval rating continues its downward slide to a number not seen since the tough scrutiny of the Trump administration, he said, according to the poll. The key phrase here is tough scrutiny, although for former President Trump, I'd call it an all-out attack. The media went after Trump viciously, spreading false stories about Russia while burying stories harmful to Joe Biden. Now, we have a media that wants Joe Biden to succeed, that goes soft on him whenever they can. And yet, his polling numbers continue to crater. No one has confidence that Biden can lead. He stays hidden. He stays scripted. And in the meantime, we have a border crisis. We have Americans trapped in Afghanistan. Democrats in disarray. And amid all that, Biden decides to target concerned parents. It's just stunning. Okay, so we've had the fake White House, the AP false fact check, and Joe Biden's failed leadership. We need to ask them, do you have a relaxed brain?
I got what you call, like, I don't know, a relaxed brain.
Okay, let's start with Joy Behar from The View, because she has now figured out how to get more Black Americans to get vaccinated. And that is to tell them that the vaccine was experimented on white people first.
I don't blame that community for being skittish about it. But I say that so many white people have gotten it now. Mm-hmm. You know, the experiment has been done on white people now.
She's just a mess. Even when trying to build a movement to get people vaccinated, which is what all the people on The View were trying to do, Behar falls into the same tired left-wing strategy of racial division. Don't come together. Identify and divide based on race. Yep. So much for unity and inclusion. Then there's the ridiculous tweet from the stone-faced Wolf Blitzer at CNN. He was walking around the Capitol on Wednesday, and for some reason, he tweeted this. 9 months ago today, on January 6, 2001, an angry mob attacked the U.S. Capitol. I walked around the complex today, and it was very calm. As you know, the perimeter security fence is gone, at least for now. At least for now? What is that? It's the most useless, pointless tweet, but there's Wolf looking all serious as if this is some monumental event and he's giving us the news. The reaction has been great. Here's talk show host Jerry Callahan. It was calm. Wow, that's incredible. You mean they're not still insurrectioning? I thought it was still going on. Thank you for the update, Wolfman. Important work. It's just incredibly lame, and I guess Wolf thought it was just such important news that he had to make it a selfie. It's just so weird. And then there's these breaking headlines from the Babylon Bee, and we'll start with culture and religion. Local man prays that wife's text message of okay really means okay. I just love that, but I think I'll just move on to the economy and the employment, not job, shortage. Working in fast food would be humiliating, says man living on government handouts in parents' basement. That's today's mentality, folks. It's better to be a bum than have a job. It's better to rely on the government than to rely on yourself. And nothing will change until we end this entitlement mentality by stopping the endless entitlements. Friends, that's our show for today. I hope you enjoyed it. And before you go, if you're new to the show or haven't subscribed yet, regardless of platform, just search out my name. Hit that subscribe button. Make sure notifications are turned on. That way you can follow the show and help us grow. Thank you so much for tuning in. Our next show is going to be tomorrow with our Saturday live stream at 11 a.m. Central Time on my channel. Our special guest will be Newsmax host, author, and PR expert, Allison Maloney. Please tune in and I'll see you on Saturday. Until then, I'm Bobby Eberle. This is the 13-Minute News Hour.